Today's readings give us an opportunity to reflect once again on wisdom and foolishness. We could say this is the theme every day. We don't always use the terms wisdom and foolishness, but every day we are presented with the contrast between the right way to live and the wrong way. When in this gospel parable we see the foolish virgins locked out, asking for the door to be opened, it brings back to mind what we heard on Sunday when Jesus spoke about trying to enter through the narrow gate, and how it can happen that if we're not ready or if we're not faithful, we're outside knocking and the Lord from inside says, "I don't know where you came from." It's the same image as we had on Sunday. But on Sunday, it didn't mention foolishness and wisdom. Or you could think of yesterday's reading about the servants who were ready for the arrival of the master, faithful, diligent, prudent, responsible. You could say those are the wise servants. It didn't say that yesterday, but it obviously applies. And then the servants who acted as if they themselves were the masters, who were wasteful and lazy and abusive. Well, you could say those are the foolish ones. Yes, foolish. Now, when it comes to wisdom and foolishness, of course, we can acknowledge there is a worldly wisdom and worldly foolishness that is valid as far as it goes. Say the wisdom of eating the right foods for good health, or keeping up your exercise, or studying the right kind of materials if you want to pass your course. Well, that's natural wisdom. It makes sense. And it's foolish to waste your resources or to eat the wrong foods or to whatever, waste your time on the social media. That's foolishness. But that's not the kind of wisdom and foolishness that the scriptures are focused on mainly. I think it's important to keep this in mind. When the scriptures are talking about wisdom, it's eternal wisdom. It's wisdom for eternal life. It's not just to have a better life here. It's so that we can journey through this life and enter into eternal life. That's the real wisdom, and that's the wisdom that distinguishes the wise virgins from the foolish virgins. Now, if we don't get this, we can easily misinterpret a parable like this and think that, well, the wise ones should have been more generous with their oil because they had extra and the other five didn't, and they should have been more other-centered, because that's what love of neighbor is, isn't it? Sharing what you have. It's a misapplication of the parable. It's a funny thing. This parable tends to get misunderstood. Parables, remember, are taught or are told to teach a lesson, and we can't use them to teach other things. When you get the parable of the sower, for example, it's not telling us that we should throw seeds onto footpaths and into thorn bushes. That's not what the parable is. That's not what it's teaching. Even though the sower in the parable scatters the seeds all over the place, it doesn't mean that that's what farmers should do. It's a symbol of the Word of God being proclaimed to all different kinds of people, as it should be, different kinds of soil in the human heart. So we don't misunderstand that one. We don't think that we should be throwing seeds here on the granite floor. But when it comes to this parable, say, well, gee, if you have oil and you have extra oil and someone next to you doesn't have oil, you should share. That's not the point of this parable. That's a human wisdom. That's a natural interpretation. What Jesus' point here, as it was yesterday, is to distinguish between readiness and unreadiness for the coming of the Lord. People, when they think about the coming of the Lord, the end of the world, the second coming, they get intimidated. They think, oh, this is going to be a terrible event. Well, in some ways, yes, because we have to say goodbye to what is going to disappear anyway. But this parable says the coming of the Lord is the entry into a wedding feast. It's a great thing. It's what these 10 virgins really want to happen. They want to be there for the wedding feast. But 5 of them, even though they want to enter the feast, they don't prepare themselves. So that's the foolishness. They're not ready. It has nothing to do with literal oil. It has to do with spiritual preparation, wisdom and foolishness. Now, to get this, to understand this even more deeply, we can turn to St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, which has a lot to say about wisdom and foolishness, especially in the first couple of chapters. And in today's reading, Paul puts it out as bluntly as he can that the proclamation of the gospel is foolishness to the world. It's foolishness to the world. It's not the foolishness of the world where, like, being lazy or misusing your money or eating the wrong kind of foods. That's not the kind of foolishness he's talking about. He's talking about the message of the cross. The wisdom of the cross to the world looks foolish, and there's no other way. The world can't understand the message of the cross because it contradicts human standards, or it transcends human standards. So this is what Paul says again and again. Well, where's the wise one? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Where are all the experts? Well, look them up on the internet. You find the experts in economics and social policy and health protocols and all sorts of things, diet. Say, well, all kinds of wisdom. What are these people telling us about eternal life? Nothing. Or sometimes what they tell us is exactly the opposite. You know, take care of yourself. Make yourself the center of your world. Look out for the one who's really important to you, meaning yourself. That's the wisdom of the world. And the wisdom of God doesn't fit into any of those categories. Sacrificial love seems to contradict the wisdom of the world. Well, it does contradict the wisdom of the world. That's why Paul says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who follow the wisdom of the world. It's foolishness. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom. He's picking out two different standards that we might use. Signs meaning looking for the miraculous, looking for signs of divine power. Jews demand signs. It's a kind of looking to the supernatural level, but in a way that satisfies our demand for power. Greeks look for wisdom. That's the rationalist approach. Figure it out. Be logical. Make use of your human reason, which of course is important. But it's not going to satisfy the need to see beyond this world. We can't reason ourselves into heaven. Just like we can't make our way into heaven by miraculous signs. Jews demand signs, Greeks look for wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, foolishness to Gentiles. See, when we're basing our approach to life on natural perceptions, either wisdom or even our demand for what will work, the message of the cross just won't make any sense. It's like the image that Jesus uses about the wine and the wineskin. If you want to accept the message of the cross, you have to have a new wineskin. It doesn't fit into the categories of the world. The message of the cross is the power of God and the wisdom of God. There are all sorts of problems, and we have to use what means we can to address them, but we shouldn't expect to be able to figure them out and solve them on our own. the pandemic was a great instruction in that every day. In fact, it seems to still be going on. We couldn't solve it on our own. We couldn't take control of it. And even when we had the idea that we could take control of it, well, then we actually made things worse for ourselves in some ways. Or look at the war, the war in Ukraine, which has reached now the 6-month threshold. Pope Francis, yesterday or the day before, again cried out the madness of this war, the madness of war. He didn't use the word foolishness, but he said madness. It's madness. It's madness. And the world seems to think that the way to solve this madness is to get more violent, and to have more antagonism. And that seems to be the way it's going, and the war is getting worse, the tensions between the East and the West in Europe getting worse. It's foolishness. What's the why? And those who are suffering, the innocent, you know, the children, the families, the refugees, those who are affected by the war, they're the ones who are carrying the cross. Now the question is how to carry that cross in a way that is actually going to be fruitful. This is true of all the crosses. I just mentioned the war because it's so obvious, but we all have crosses, and usually we think that that's terrible. That's something to complain about. Yeah, it is terrible. That's why it's a cross. But are we aware of the wisdom of being able to unite our sufferings with the suffering of Jesus Christ? To be able to make those sufferings fruitful or submit them to God so that He can make them fruitful? It doesn't make sense to the world, but that's the wisdom of the cross. The foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. So if you can't figure it out, that's fine. The weakness of God is stronger than human strength. We can't fight our way into holiness. Well, yeah, we fight with weapons, spiritual weapons. But we can't force our way. We can't force God to do what we want. Well, this is the message. The wisdom, the real wisdom, the eternal wisdom, the divine wisdom, is going to look foolish to the world. It's going to look foolish to our own nature. But don't close the door on the message of the cross. Keep striving. Keep carrying. Keep persevering. Keep hoping. Keep praying. Because that message of the cross is the one that is the true wisdom, and it bears real and lasting fruit.